Our sermon today is based on a reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. We've been hearing this for the past few weeks, and pretty soon you'll have it memorized, and that's a good thing. Paul wrote, "Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." Thank you, God, that we can find comfort and courage in Christ. So as I said, we've been winding our way through the sure saying Paul highlighted in chapter 2 of his second letter to Timothy. It seems he's quoting an ancient four-part liturgy, or perhaps it's an ancient song that helped the early believers remember the beneficial characteristics of Jesus Christ. The first line of the hymn said, "If we have died with him, we will also live with him," comparing our baptisms to being buried, but also being resurrected, just as Jesus was. It also means dying to the things that hinder our walk of faith: injustice, indifference, despair, disobedience. The second line contained a wonderful promise: if we endure, we will also reign with him. This was a way to encourage the new believers who often faced persecution and even outright martyrdom as they embraced this new Jesus-centered religion. If they endured the suffering, Paul assured them, they would also share the glory and reign with Christ. But we must be clear about what it means to reign with Jesus. It's not lording it over other people, not being a heavy-handed, closed-minded boss, but being an open-minded, open-handed, open-hearted servant, just as Jesus came to serve God's people. It is encouraging to think that even as we go through all the stuff of this life, doubt and death and disappointment, our suffering will redeem us and reward us on the day of the Lord's return. This line is intended to keep us going forward with our eyes on the prize of our places in the heavenly realm. But then this hopeful, compelling line is followed by a stark warning: if we deny him, Jesus, he will also deny us. Well, that certainly throws a wrench in our happy sails, doesn't it? Jesus himself said it plainly in Matthew 10:33, "Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." He would deny he ever knew that person? Oh, no, we say strongly, oh, no, no, we would never deny Jesus, never. Who else said that? Just before his arrest, after eating the Last Supper with the disciples, Jesus said, "You will all fall away because of me this night." Peter, always the first to speak up, declared, "Even if everyone else falls away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me three times." Peter said, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." As we heard in the elders' reading of the scripture for today, Peter did exactly that. In Luke's gospel, just as Peter cried, "I don't know him," for the third time, Jesus turned and looked right at him. And then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, and he walked away and wept bitterly. He had denied his Lord. We can deny Jesus not just by our words. You know what they say, actions speak louder than words. We would never stand up and declare outright, out loud, that we don't believe in Christ, not after having walked so closely with him. But some of the things we do, our individual and collective actions, deny Jesus as loudly and clearly as Peter did. What things? Well, when you legislate and support laws that strip people of their health, their well-being, and basic human rights, their history, that's denying Jesus. When you withhold justice and equality and strip people of those inalienable rights, that's denying Jesus. When you turn your back on the poor and the needy and withhold needed money or other benefits from them, when you don't reach down to pull them up, but rather make their lot in life even more difficult, that's certainly denying Jesus. If we read what Jesus told us to do, take care of the widow and the orphan, feed the hungry, take care of the sick, give someone else your extra cloak, and we try to downplay it by saying, "Ah, he didn't really mean that," That's denying Jesus. Because he really did mean that. He really meant for us to take care of one another. Something else profound and impelling that Jesus said on that fateful night at the final feast was, love one another even as I have loved you. Love with no caveats, love with no additions or additions, love with no asterisk saying, but only if you are legally here, but only if you love the right person in the right way, but only if they speak the same language as I do or look like you. There were no conditions on this mandate. Jesus really expects us to do great things with great love. But Jesus also said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, Jesus said, I never knew you. Go away from me, you who behave lawlessly. Denying Jesus also involves distorting his word and his commandments, twisting them in knots. So when someone does something evil and underhanded, it becomes excusable and laudable. Paul spoke about suffering for the gospel. He was, at the time he wrote this letter, enduring hardship and imprisonment and chains because he spoke the word of truth. He was suffering for the gospel. We need to suffer for the gospel too. Not exactly by getting put into prison, although Jesus' warnings about the last days indicates this may happen to many of us who profess and follow him. We need to suffer for the gospel by being indignant about the way some misuse the word of God to bully, intimidate, ostracize, expel, and exploit others. When people forget that the overarching message of the gospel is love and love and more love, and they act in unloving ways, this is another way of denying Jesus. Deciding who Jesus will forgive, deciding who Jesus will welcome, deciding who Jesus will heal, deciding who Jesus will love. Some deny him by claiming to follow him and then go about living a life contrary to his teachings, a life full of hatred and evil and distrust and disobedience to the outspoken word of God. Jesus set it all out for us plain as day, crystal clear, how we are to show our love for him. And it's easier to do than we imagine when we imagine ourselves reigning with Jesus. And do you remember what it means to reign with Jesus? It means to serve as he served. He never put restrictions on his healing or his love. He never turned anyone away. He knew everything about everyone he met, and still he loved them. He knew all about people like the woman who anointed his feet with oil and wiped them with her hair. He knew what people said about her, that she was a prostitute, a sinner. And yet he blessed her and sent her away healed and whole. He knew what people said about people like Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And yet he accepted Zacchaeus' repentance and blessed him and sent him on his way whole and healed. The Savior knows all about every person's circumstances, and yet he loves them all. It's impossible for us to know about all the circumstances of every person who crosses our paths, and yet we are still called to love them instead of judging them, trusting that Jesus knows all about them and still loves them, and so should we. We remember reading in Matthew's gospel Jesus' description about what would happen on the judgment day to those who denied him. You who are accursed, says the Son of Man as he sits on his throne of glory, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then the accursed will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. You denied these people food, water, a welcome, shelter, clothing, healing, freedom. You denied me, so now I deny you. Does that scenario make your heart sink? Sure, it sounds overly harsh, but I don't imagine Jesus would take pleasure in sending some people into eternal punishment. I bet it would break his heart. But as we will study in deeper detail next week, he made a promise, And even if people are faithless, Jesus stays true to his word. Does it break your heart to think some people you know would be sent away with a dismissive wave of the Lord's hand? Of course it does. But there is reason to hope. Going back to Peter, weeping because he had done the very thing he swore he would never do, he carried that weight and that sorrow in his heart all through the aftermath of the Lord's trial and crucifixion. The one morning, not long after Jesus' resurrection, Peter and his fellow disciples went fishing. While they were out in the boat, they saw someone standing on the shore. It was Jesus, though they didn't know it right then. The person called to them, "Cast your nets on the right side of the boat." And when they did so, their nets filled with fish, almost to the point of breaking. The disciple John said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And Peter jumped right into the water and swam directly to Jesus. Later, as they were eating the breakfast Jesus had prepared, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" 3 times he asked him this question. 3 times Peter declared, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus gave him an opportunity to redeem himself. He had denied Jesus 3 times, and now he said aloud, "I love you, Lord," 3 times. His declaration of love erased his earlier denial. This one who had loudly and strongly denied knowing Jesus was given a chance to redeem himself, because that's just how gracious the Lord is, not wanting any to perish, but wanting all to come to repentance, to give them a second chance to seek forgiveness for all the wrongs, all the sins we have ever committed against Christ, even denying him. Hearing his admonishment today, may we vow to renew our commitment to Christ. May we say yes to him again, remembering the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Christian theologian martyred for his resistance to the evil embodied by the Nazi regime. Bonhoeffer said, "Your yes to God requires your no to all injustice, to all evil, to all lies, to all oppression and violation of the weak and the poor. To refuse to take up our fight against those things and people who blatantly go against what God and Jesus have told us to do, to love one another, is to once again deny Jesus. If we want to reign with him, serve with him in the heavenly realm, there is no better time than now, and there is no better place than here to get started." Let us pray. God, forgive us if we have ever denied Jesus Christ in any way, by word or deed. Give us strength, God, to stand against injustice, evil, inequality, oppression, and suppression. Empower us to bring your love and hope and light into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.